Okay, class, good to see you today. We're going to continue a part two of the same lesson in chapter 5, but this time we dealt with Christ's initiated obedience. This time it is to be filled with Christ, it's to be filled with obedience. We're going to take off, and we're going to go a step further with this. Why it's so important, you know, to understand this obedience that Christ gave us. It's kind of like the nucleus of the whole thing. It's the center. You see, it's the central part of our redemption, obedience. You know, we teach on a lot of other things, but obedience in this form here is the crux of the gospel, the crux of Christ and what he died and paid for. And the enemy, he fights everything and all that he can do when it comes to obeying. I want to say every hounding demon, every lying spirit, I mean every, I'm trying to think about how many lying spirit and how many deceiving demons there is. But I think they all get together, and the whole goal is to come against our obedience. You see, I'm trying to make it as strong as possible to let you know that Satan is the spirit of disobedience, and his greatest warfare is to get us to walk in disobedience. Now, with that in mind, let's go to 2 Corinthians. It's not in your book. I'm getting off the lesson here, but I'm not off the lesson. I'm getting off the script, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Everybody know this scripture if you're a Bible student, but I want to bring this scripture in another light, class, to let us see that Satan warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And those principalities rule in the realm of the spirit, and he want to capture our obedience and hold our obedience hostage and keep us from obeying God. And he want to walk in his principle of disobedience. And that's his whole challenge and warfare against us. And I want you to see this. It subdivides the whole Bible. It's almost like Apostle said. He said the dividing scripture in the Bible, he said in Luke 10 and 19, for the thief cometh, but for the steal, kill, and destroy. How do he kill, steal, and destroy? He kills, destroy mainly by getting us out of the will of God. And once you get out of the will of God, he can steal everything from us. He gets you out of the will of God, he gets you into sin, he can steal your goods. Now watch. 10 and 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where do disobedience come from? Right here. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring to captivity every thought. You see it? To what? The obedience of Christ. I never saw this scripture in the light of this until just now, class. This was new light for me. And bring everything to the obedience of Christ. You see it? He exalted himself against the knowledge of God. You see it? And bring everything to captivity. You see it? He want to take your obedience and hold it captive. He exalted himself against the knowledge of Christ. And through the knowledge of Christ come the obedience of Christ. He want to take our obedience to captivity. And hold captive all of our obedient thoughts. Now watch this next verse. And having any readiness to avenge all disobedience. You see, that is dividing. That dividing line right here of the whole gospel right here. Of all obedience, when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. You see that? That we can stop right here and that be the end of our lesson. So Satan want to create a wall between you and God through causing you to walk out of obedience. So Christ is to be filled with Christ. Now listen to this. Listen to this lesson in another line. To be filled. Let's see. Take a pitcher of water and take a glass and imagine this in your mind. And you take that pitcher of water and you run that glass over water until it not only fill, but it overflows. Now watch. When that water is poured in that glass, it displaces air, everything else that in that glass, and it's filled with water. Now it might be a simple example, but watch. Well, I'm gonna read this again. To be filled with Christ. Now when we really filled with Christ, everything in us become displaced. Christ removed everything that's not of God, you see, and he displaced everything. And so all disobedience, all lies, all deception of Satan is displaced, and we're filled with obedience, you see. See, to be filled with Christ is to be filled with obedience. Well, how are we filled with obedience? Because when Christ be poured in, obedience comes in. And everything else in this place. Hope it's making sense. All disobedience leaves when Christ is filled. The only way disobedience comes in when our level and knowledge of Christ begin to diminish and begin to lessen, then other things can enter in. But long you filled with the Paul said, walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You see it? When you're filled with something, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for contamination. There's no room for deceitfulness. There's no room for lies. And I'm trying to show what it means to be filled with Christ and to be filled with obedience. Be filled with the Word of God. And that's why we got to have, as a family of God, as children of God, we got to be filled with the Word of God. You see it? You got to be filled with the Word of God. Over there's another scripture coming to mind. What scripture is in? Not Timothy. Not Philippians. Colossians 3, I think. 3:1. I'm just taking these scriptures as they come up, Claire. I know I'm getting off route a little bit, but I'm trying to bring this right here. Look right here. There's Colossians 3:1. I'm trying to bring something across so you can see it and clarify it. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on earth. There's another scripture I was looking for over here, and I can't seem to find it. I'm going to quote it, and you can look for it, and I might have fun with it and make it a test question, a quiz question. And it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I can't put my hands on it, but it's in Colossians or Colossians. Now I'm looking at it. It's 3:16. I just put my head down and went right to it. Look at Colossians 3:16, Claire. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with grace in your heart to the Lord. You see, when you're filled with the Word of God, you see it, when it dwells in you richly, you see it, everything that Christ has comes in. That's why, read the Word daily. You know, you can't lose when you study the Scripture. I mean, read every day. Get your systematic habit of studying the Bible. You might not get chill bumped. You might not get revelation. You goose bumped all over you every time you're reading. But when you let it dwell in your richly, it displaces something. And when it displaces something, the spirit of obedience begins to rise up. When the word, Jesus said, you're cleansed through the word which I spoke. The word has a cleansing agent. And I'm trying to show you how to fill yourself with obedience. And when you fill yourself with obedience, you see, there's no room for disobedience. All you want to do is things that are right. When I first got saved, I dived into the word of God. And I mean, I wouldn't come up for air. And I almost got to the point, I think I might share it with you, Claire. I felt so holy and so pure, so righteous. I mean, all this was new to me. I didn't even want to kill anything. I didn't even want to kill a fly. I said, that's God's creation. I can't kill that. I can't kill this. I can't kill that. I can't do this. I mean, I felt so righteous. I just didn't want to do anything wrong. Why? I was filled for the first time with the presence of God. And I felt like I didn't want to contaminate nothing that God had. But I found then I had to eat. And I had to sleep. And I had to get up. And I had to feed my family. And he had to kill whoever I ate. He had to be killed. You see? And if I didn't want my house contaminated, I had to spray the flies. If I didn't want my house infested, I had to kill the roaches. And so I found out that it had to come down to a level for inspection. Oh my goodness. That's the way I felt. Now let's go back to the book. Since the Lord has initiated obedience, the Father has become the head of Christ. Now because both authority and obedience have been instituted by God, it is natural for those to know God and Christ to obey. It's only natural. You see, to know Christ and God to obey. It came in us to obey. But those who know not God and Christ know neither authority nor obedience. Christ is the principle of obedience. He who accepts Christ accepts the principle of obedience. Now, you see that? And I had to learn that. When I accepted Christ, I didn't have to go through the lesson of trying to find obedience. It came with me. But I could find out listen to this. Now, the one thing to have obedience, but your obedience must be fulfilled. You see, what do you mean? If my obedience, the one is in me, but is that being fulfilled through my obedience? You can have obedience and not obey. You can have money and not spend it. You can have love and not show it. You can have peace and don't walk in it. I'm trying to show how spiritual principle works. You can have joy in you and don't function in it. All these spiritual laws, all these spiritual things can be in us, but unless you fulfill it. Your obedience must be fulfilled, must be carried out, must be demonstrated, must be released. Love got to be released. You can have forgiveness in you, but it has to be released. Spiritual laws are made to release. Our job is to know how to fulfill these laws, doing the things that God gives us. So when Christ in us, those spiritual laws and spiritual promises, Ephesians 1 and 3, we talk about how we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven and faith and in Christ. But we got to release. Our prosperity is in us, but we got to release it. I am prosperous. You see? I am joy. I am peace. I am obedience. I live in obedience. I walk in obedience. I breathe obedience. And so we got to come to the place of understanding that. So to be filled with Christ, it's filled with obedience. And I think that's the revelation of it. You see? And that's why I'm taking my time, Brad, to let us know that even though you have all these spiritual laws that in the inside of us,
and govern us, unless we release those things, it will not produce anything. The just shall live by faith. All spiritual principles have to be released through and by faith. Remember, I told you that class. He said, nowadays people always ask, why should I obey? Since both you and I are brothers, why must I obey you? But men are not qualified to act in this manner. The Lord alone is qualified. Yet he has never said such words, nor has such a thought over it entered his mind. Christ represents obedience, which is as perfect as the authority of God is perfect. May God be merciful to those who claim there's no authority when obedience is yet little in their life. You see, they claim for no authority. Isn't that something? The Son and the Father are co-equal, but his being the Lord has rewarded him by God. Let me read that again. The Son and the Father are co-equal, but his being the Lord has rewarded him by God. See, no, let me explain this. The Father and the Son, they're one and the same. But yet, because Christ obeyed, God made him Lord of all. That's Christ. God exalted him so we can have an identity with him. God exalted him not for the sake of Christ. Listen to me, Claire, but for his sake, for our sake. God exalted Christ for our sake. We benefit by him being highly exalted. We benefit by Christ being exalted. We benefit by God giving him a name which is above every name, that had the name of Jesus. And we benefit because God is God. Christ is God. See, so God did everything to benefit us and those who followers up here. You see it? So that's why he got rewarded for our sake. The Lord Jesus Christ was made Lord only after he emptied himself. His deity derived from who he is. For his being God is his inherent nature. You see, God only restored the Christ back to his rightful place. After Christ obeyed him, God put him back in the rightful place. And he became Lord over all, the mission accomplished, and God gave him his seated position right back at the right hand of the Father. God sent him to do a will, Jesus accomplished it, and he went right back to his Father in his seated position. He did everything for us, for our benefit, that we might learn, we might follow, he might be an example for us to follow. We may be like him on the earth as he is. So we did everything that we may imitate him. He became the second Adam that we know how we should function in our rightful position. That we must know how to walk in our rightful birthright. He came to restore us right back to our former position that Adam got deceived and caused us to fall to a lower life. A lower nature. But now God exalted Christ, and when Christ got exalted, we got exalted. When Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When Christ was seated in heaven, we became seated in heaven. He exalted us. When he got exalted, we got exalted. It's only by revelation. Are you with me, Claire? His being Lord, though issues out of what he has done. He was exalted and rewarded by God to be Lord only after he forsook his glory and maintained the perfect role of obedience. Now, we're walking in a life. We live in a life that should be filled with obedience. Everything we do, every day we wake up, Jesus said in the Psalm, I come to do thy will, O God. He prophesied. I come to do thy will of God. Now we're in another dispensation. Now that we're born again, our desire is, Lord, I come to do thy will. I come to obey. Lord, when you get up in the morning, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, what do you want me to say to somebody today? Lord, help me to obey you in every way. Because all the demons in hell want to come after your obedience and to keep you from fulfilling what God has for you to do today. We're not just here. God didn't put us upon this earth just to live out our own life. No, our life should be his life now. We should live out his life upon the earth. Not my will, Lord, but thine will be done, not my life. Jesus, he's offered up his life. And now that we're born again, we must do the same thing. How you offer up your life? To obey us. One man said, they asked him a question. One of the Oriental preachers, one of the largest churches, he had one of the largest churches in the world. And he said, I pray and I obey. That's what praying does. Praying puts you in the position to obey. You feel? It softens you and takes you out of the natural realm and puts you to the obedience, the work class, and in the spirit realm. So when you pray in the spirit, it puts you into a realm that allows you to deny your flesh and to allow you to walk in the spirit, and the spirit of obedience takes over your whole being. You see it? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times. And when he prayed, he came out with the spirit of obedience. He rejected his flesh. He rejected his emotion. He rejected those old thoughts. And he said, Lord, thy will be done. He told the boys, come on, let us be going. Sleep on and take your rest. He said, but I know what I got to do. Why? He had just touched obedience. When you touch obedience, you touch God. Remember I told you that, Clem. When you touch obedience, you touch who? You touch God. I might mean that's a quiz question. When you touch obedience, you touch God. You touch God's heart. God said, that's my servant right there, because you obey it. Every time you obey God, I think God get excited on his throne. That's my boy. That's my girl. Yeah, obey. You see, obey at every cost. Obey at every cost. Now, Brother Nee says something about this passage in Philippians 2. He said one of the most difficult to explain, because it's the most controversial besides being the most holy. And it's controversial only in the flesh. It's controversial only in human knowledge. But in the spirit, it makes every sense in the world. In the spirit, it's understood. And that's why it don't seem controversial once you understand the will of the Lord. He said, let us remove our shoes and stand on holy ground as we review this scripture. It seemed as though at the beginning a council was held within the Godhead. God conceived a plan to create the universe. In the plan, God agreed to have authority represented by the Father, but the authority cannot be established in a universe without obedience. And that's a good point. Authority cannot be established in a universe without obedience. You see, even in God's creation, and because God is the creator, and because God is authority. Authority is not authority unless there's someone submitted to that authority to obey. You see? Or something has to obey. Because God's the authority, the earth obeyed him. The sun, all the elements obeyed him. The waters obeyed him. And God said, that's good, because he is authority. And then God created man to be the dominant one over all his creation, and God put him in the midst of the garden, and God gave him command, and God put him there at the rim of obedience for someone to obey. He has something, it's either for things to obey than for a man to obey. It was easier for the earth and the water and the land and the stars and the moon and the sun to obey. Why? Because they didn't have a will. Because God created a man with a will, and it's more difficult for a man to obey because now he has a choice that God put in his heart. Now I can choose to obey or choose not to obey. And God made man in that creation because God didn't want to make a robot. You see, God wanted him to choose to love him, to choose to submit to him, choose to do what he wanted him to do, and not robotically, not like a hand puppet, and you working his hand and feet, even though he created all that. But God said, I want you to obey out of your own heart and your own mind, soul, and your spirit. See, it's important, Claire. It's important what God did. God is so omniscient. God is so all-knowing. God is so powerful. God is so strong. It's hard for us to understand, but his will always gets done on the earth. Why? Because God always has someone to obey him. And so, Apostle said something, you know, many years ago, and now forget it. He said, Ronald, remember, you're never God's first son. See, God chooses other people to do certain things. But when they don't obey, God's going to find someone to obey. When somebody don't follow through, when somebody drop the ball, God's going to find somebody who's not going to drop the ball. God always got somebody in mind. God always see that willing obedience. See, I went to a step further. Obedience is one thing. See, and obedience is right and truth. But that's the third thing I call willing obedience. See, willing obedience takes it to another level. My will is to obey. I'm not forced to obey. I'm not forced to obey like this man with his heart and those sacks of sand he put on his horse back and made the horse go around the ring, round and round the ring. The horse would go around the ring because he had bags full of sand and he forced the horse to obey him instead the horse wouldn't take a saddle. That's forced obedience. God don't want that. And then when he took the 200-pound, 300-pound sack off the back, they made you don't mind a little 40-pound sack. Put the sack. Go ahead, put the sack. He's all right to obey like that. But God don't want that kind of obedience. God wants what I call willing obedience. You have to will to obey God. And so because God don't want robots. Are you with me, Claire? Are you sticking with me? Stick with me, Clay, because this lesson has to be established in your heart. The lesson of obedience has to be established. If this lesson is not established, then God will not be able to function in your life. God cannot give you the thing he wants you to have. And then God cannot get his will done. You see, Jesus stated himself in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, my will. And all these other things, these little things you want is going to be added. But when you do God's will, all other things, it's like I like what Apostle said. It's just fringe benefits. It comes with it. But practice, plan to do the will of God at all costs. Set your desire. Set all the things you want to do on the side. And allow God to work through you and do what he want to do. Then all your little dreams and everything you want gonna be fulfilled. If you're willing. See, I like the word obedience, but I like the word willing obedience much better because I got something to do with it. God's not going to force us to obey. God wants us to obey, but he's not going to force us. Saul could have still been king. He never had to rise up for David if he was obeyed. You see it? But God had to find a man that was going to have the spirit of obedience in him. Saul wanted to do his own thing. Saul had his own plan in mind. Saul had never totally humbled himself. Saul got high-minded and got away from what God wanted. Saul started seeing things that to his advantage and not to the advantage of God. All things you do must be to the advantage of God. Oh, God must always get the glory from it. God must always have the joy of being to say, my will is being done upon the earth. Claire, this is an important lesson. The spirit of obedience must be not only obeyed, but the spirit of obedience must be maintained. Now, that's the key. That's the key to walking in this obedience. You got to learn to maintain this obedience. That's the maintenance that goes along with this obedience. You have to maintain it through the Word of God. The Word of God is the maintenance for the obedience to keep flowing in your life. You don't want to obey one time, and the next time you do what you want to do. No, that's not true obedience. True obedience when you learn to maintain and walk in obedience consistently. That one of the apostles' greatest secret. His greatest secret is to prayer and meditation of the Word of God. He not only walked in obedience, but he learned to maintain that spirit of obedience. Whatever God says, he's always willing to do it. Even if you make a wrong turn, God always will put him back on the track, because God knows that he's going to obey him in everything he do. That's why Abraham was so successful. God said, if you obey me, he did everything I had to do. That's why David and Joshua and all these great men of God, they maintained their obedience. Yeah, they made mistakes. They stepped off every now and then, but God knew he was able to bring them back to obedience. God knew that they were going to repent and get right back. So when you walk in disobedience, you go to the place of refuge. You find a place to repent. Say, God, I missed it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me, Lord, to do better next time. Give me another chance to do it right. Now, that's when the spirit of obedience, they caught a hold of your spirit. And when you walk out of obedience, you know it. That's when God got you by the rein. And that's when God got you. See, that's that word control, I tell you. It's not a bad word. I want God to control. I want God to tell me when I'm going the wrong way with the rein. If I'm going too far to the right, I want God to be able to pull me to the left a little bit and straighten me back out. I want the reins of God upon me. I'm getting a little excited, class, because I know this is a good lesson. Oh, my goodness. When we catch hold of this lesson, everything else is down here. Everything else is a roller coaster ride. Everything else is going along for the ride when you're walking in the way God wants you to walk. You see me? You hear me, Clem? You hear me? This is this lesson. These are the lessons that bring us from one level to another. These lessons here takes us into the will of God. You see, you don't have to ask God what you want him to do. God will lead you right to where you want to go. You see, so sometimes you're asking for things, and you know, God, let me do this. God, let me do that. God, let me know. God said, just obey me, and I'll lead you to where I need you to go. Don't try to get God to get you to do something you want to do. You see, no, let God lead you to do what he wants you to do. Yeah, yeah. Be free to obey God. And be free to let God do whatever he wants with you. All right? So if God make no move, you make no move. And that's one of the keys to success in ministry. I've learned that I don't have to make no move. Just keep praying and obeying God. If you're faithful in a few things, God said, I'll make you real over me. That's been a good plan. I'm trying to wrap this up now. Since obedience cannot exist alone, God must therefore find obedience in the universe. Two living beings were to be created, angels with their spirit and men with their living soul. According to his foreknowledge, God foresaw the rebellion of the angels and the fall of men. Hence, he was unable to establish his authority in angels or in Adam, in the Adamic race. When he say angels, not all the angels rebelled, just Lucifer and his crew. You see? His crew rebelled against God. Consequently, within the Godhead, perfect accord was reached that authority would be answered by obedience in the Son. From this come the distinctive operation of God the Father and God the Son. One day God would, the Son emptied himself, and being born in the likeness of men, he became the symbol of obedience. Insomuch as rebellion came from the created being, so obedience must not also be established in the created being. And that's what I was saying to you earlier, man. God had to have a man become flesh to redeem us. Man sinned and rebelled, therefore the authority of God must be erected on man's obedience. This explains why the Lord came to the world and was made as one of the created men. Class has been a good class. It's been a good class, but I want you to know, class, that obedience to be fulfilled, it has to be a thing of the spirit, and it has to grasp your heart. I want you to start at this lesson. Start at this lesson and go over it. Go over it and I pray God. I pray God that you get to see what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us. Are you with me, Claire? So I got a few things that are going to be on quiz. If you study some of these high points, it's going to help you to know what I need you to know. When I say that, I'm talking about these high points. I don't expect you to remember everything we talk about, but there are certain things about obedience that stands out to me. And I like to bring them out of the quiz, because the quiz is kind of feeling some of the high points. All right, class? So you've been a good class, and class, I'll see you next time. God bless.